Now, tonight we're going to talk about Peter's exhortation and encouragement to the elders and the church. So out of reference for God's Word, if you would please, would you stand? And we're going to read the first five chapters. Michael Walker, good to see you, man. All right, good to see you. How's life in Greenville? Doing okay? All right, good to see all of our. And I tell you, it's a blessing. It is a blessing to see our college students coming to church when they're home. They could easily stay home, find a job, do nothing, but they're here on a Wednesday night. And Missy, good to see you as well. But I appreciate you coming here on a Wednesday night. Verse 1 of chapter 5. The elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father God, we are truly thankful and grateful to you. I know so many times I don't show it, I don't say it like I should, like I'm commanded to. And Father, I'm sorry for it. Father, we're just ungrateful human beings. And I just thank you that you put up with us. Thank you that you put up with me. I thank you that you have called me to be an elder. And Father, as we discuss this passage tonight, I pray that you use it. I pray that I would convey the truth to this flock that you have entrusted us with tonight in such a way that it would be understandable, that it would be comprehended, and that it would be applied. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use me and fill me right now because I need it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, be seated if you would. But tonight, once again, we're going to talk about Peter's exhortation and encouragement to the elders and the church. We're going to get through verses 1 through 4 tonight. And then next week, Pastor Bill is going to take over, I'm sure, there at verse 5. But matter of introduction, Peter is exhorting the elders to be a good elder. To be a good elder. The text is twofold. He is exhorting the elders to be shepherds, and he is also exhorting the need for the congregation to be submissive to the shepherd. Now, I want you to notice this picture here. What is this picture of? Sheep. What'd you say? A fence. Oh, wow. You're really attentive. Yeah. A fence, grass, and sheep. You know, what's that? He said dinner. Now, here's some facts about sheep that I want us to look at tonight. First fact is this. Sheep become easily lost and disoriented. Second fact. They spend most of their time eating and drinking. Third fact, sheep must be led to food and to water. Fourth fact, they're filthy animals. They are filthy. They smell bad. They have to be tended to very, very carefully. Next fact, they are defenseless. And lastly, they are easily injured. They become sick easily. They are prone to disease and quick death. And they are easily to become discouraged. Now, let's kind of look at each one of these a little bit more in depth. They become easily lost and disoriented. They wander around a lot. And when they wander outside of the shepherd's territory, they do not know how to get back. They're not like an elephant that comes back. They're not like dogs when they leave or are taken away from their home and return back. Not like other animals that return back. Sheep, when they get outside of the shepherd's care, they get lost, disoriented. They spend most of their time eating and drinking. But you know, their eating, their food, their grass has to be very healthy. They can't just be taken to any pasture. They have to be taken to a pasture that the grass is very healthy. And the water has to be clean. It cannot be dirty water. It cannot be filthy water. It's got to be clean water. They're filthy animals. They do not even know how to clean themselves. In fact, the shepherd has to take a lot of time and detail into making sure that they are clean. There are certain areas of their anatomy that get clogged up because of the hair and the filth. And the shepherd then has to clean those areas. And if those areas do not stay clean, they will die. They're defenseless. A sheep cannot kick. They can't bite themselves out of a fight. When they are attacked, they're dead. They're easily injured. They become sick quick, easily, prone to disease, a quick death. If a sheep falls down and lays on its side, it does not have the ability to pick itself back up. And when they lie down on their side for any lengthy period of time, the blood begins to coagulate and they suffocate and drown in their own fluids and die. But now let me ask you a question. Who does that sound like? It sounds like me. I'm not going to say us. It sounds just like me. You know, I become spiritually, I become easily lost and disoriented. Spiritually, I spend most of my time eating and drinking and mooching off of God. Most of the time, spiritually, all the time, I've got to be led to food and water. I cannot do that on my own. The Holy Spirit has to lead me and feed me through the Word of God. I'm a filthy animal. I'm sinful. I am the worst sinner that I know. Every time that I look in the mirror, I see the worst sinner that I know. I have to fight my attitude. I have to fight impure motives. I have to fight selfishness. I have to fight all those things. And you know what? I fail, and I fail miserably every day. They're defenseless. Without the armor of God, I will get beat down and beat down severely every day. I become easily discouraged. I become easily injured. I become spiritually sick easily. I am prone to disease and a quick death spiritually. But listen to what Christ said. Go back one more slide, Stephen. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Aren't you grateful tonight that you have a Savior who looked at you with compassion? I'm going to say that again, because only two people said amen. Aren't you grateful tonight that you had a Savior who looked upon you with compassion. He looked on the multitudes with compassion. He looked on them. Why? Because they fainted. They were tired. They were discouraged. They were beat down. They were sick and tired of trying to follow the laws of the scribes and the Pharisees. They could not live up to the standard. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then another portion of Scripture, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Isaiah 53:6, that great passage detailing the coming Messiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So why, question here, why open talking about sheep? Why open a message here where it's discussing here elders? But why open this message talking about sheep? If you look at it here, you say, well, isn't this passage talking about elders? Well, yes, it is. And we'll get to that in a moment. But why open it talking about sheep? Here's a simple answer. Because sheep need a good shepherd. Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The psalmist, David, if you've never read the book, A Shepherd's Guide to the 23rd Psalm, written by Philip Keller, you are missing out on a great blessing. How many of you have ever read that book? Am I the only one in here that's read that? Two of you? But A Shepherd's Guide to the 23rd Psalm, written by Philip Keller, a fabulous book, an easy read. Hey, I read it, so it's got to be easy. Goes into great detail, verse by verse, about what a shepherd does to maintain the flock. You see, sheep need a good shepherd. Shepherding is hard work. Shepherding is dangerous. Shepherding is dirty. See, people have the mentality of thinking that pastors and elders, that it's the easiest job in the whole world. I had an uncle who thought, and he even conveyed this to me, he's deceased now, but he conveyed to me that preachers should not be paid. He conveyed to me that, why pay the preacher? All they do is study. Preach once a week, twice a week. What work is that? See, shepherding a flock, pastoring a flock, is hard work. It's very hard work. It's getting the call at midnight from the family whose loved one has just died. It's getting the call at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning that the loved one has had a stroke and is in the emergency room. It's getting the phone call that their daughter has been involved in a car accident and they don't know if they're going to make it. It's sitting in the office and dealing with couples for 2 and 3 hours at a time trying to piece a broken home back together. It's hours laboring in prayer. It's hours laboring over the Word of God. It's not just taking our daily bread and coming in here and giving a little devotional. It is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours over a text. just not hard work, it's also dangerous. Especially in today's media society, and boy, we don't know all about that as a church, don't we? But it's also dirty. It's seeing people at their spiritual worst. It's having to deal with some issues that really, in all reality, you'd rather just not deal with those issues. You'd rather not have to deal with those church discipline issues. You'd rather be like putting the head in the sand and just ignoring it. But we can't. So I want us to look at our text tonight. Now, in other translations, the word therefore appears in some translations. In fact, as I looked all through all the other translations, the only one that does not have the word therefore is the King James. The word therefore appears in some translations. What is this showing? Therefore, it is showing that there is a transition from chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. This is emphasizing that elders need to stand strong before their flock in the face of persecution. See, we just studied just a couple of weeks ago, chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, where it talks about the church, the Christian, going through persecution. And if the elder does not stand strong in the face of persecution, how can we expect the church, the flock, to stand strong in persecution? If the elder runs from persecution, guess who is going to follow him? The flock will follow him. But if the elder stands strong in the face of persecution and faces the trial, faces the tribulation, faces the accusations, faces the criticism, faces the laws of the land that try to handcuff him from preaching and teaching the Word of God, then the flock is going to stand strong as well. So point number one, I hope you'll write these things down, is Peter's exhortation to the elders. Let's look at verse 1 down through the beginning of verse 2. It says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." Underline, circle, highlight that word, exhort. "I exhort, who am also an elder." What is Peter saying here? He's saying, I have the right to talk to you in this letter the way I'm going to talk to you because I am also an elder. I am an elder just like you're an elder. So I have that right. I have earned that right. Why? Because not only am I an elder, but I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The first part of verse 2, it gives an instruction here. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Let's do a little word study here. Word study of exhort. Look at this transliteration of this word right here. Parakaleo. Where do we get that word from? What else in the New Testament comes from the Greek word parakaleo? The paraclete. Who is the paraclete? The Holy Spirit. What is one of the jobs, the main job of the Holy Spirit? When Christ was talking to his apostles, he said, it is expedient, it is necessary, it is a must that I leave you. I've got to leave you. But when I leave you, take comfort in this. I will leave you a comforter. That comforter is the Holy Spirit, the parakaleo. What does it mean? It means to call to one side, to call for, to summon, to admonish, to exhort, to beg, entreat, beseech. Look at letter C here, to console. Do you think that possibly, maybe I'm reaching here, okay? Maybe I'm in left field here. But do you think that possibly, Brother Bill, that possibly these elders were a little bit discouraged? Do you think that possibly in the midst of all this persecution, or possibly they were being persecuted then, but they know they are going to be persecuted, that possibly they were getting very discouraged? What is Peter doing here? He is encouraging them. He is encouraging and strengthening by consolation, to comfort, to encourage, strengthen, exhorting, comforting, encouraging, to instruct, and to teach. See, here the Holy Spirit affirms that spiritual leadership and responsibilities in the church belong to elders. See, the spiritual leadership and responsibilities in the church doesn't belong to the Sunday school teacher. Now, the Sunday school teachers are a branch that the church uses to teach, but the ultimate responsibility is up to the elders. It is also the responsibility of the elders to maintain that spiritual leadership of the church. Acts 11:30 is the first New Testament mention of the term elders. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders are encouraged by Paul to labor in the word and doctrine. And then 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7, Titus 1 through 5 through 9 outline the qualifications of an elder. And then in the Old Testament, there are several references to elders, in particularly when it's speaking about the Levites. Now, I want us to look back at our text here, verse 1. It says, the elders. Now, those of you that are English majors in here, is that singular or is that plural? It's plural. It is more than one. Why does Peter use the plural form of elders? He's not saying to the elder. He is saying to the elders. Why the plural form of elders? Well, it's very simple. Because it provides more ministry care. In a church this size, Pastor Sean can only minister to so many. He's got to have other elders to help. Remember when Moses was about to work himself to death? When bringing the Israelites across the wilderness, and his father-in-law Jethro showed up. Not Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies either, okay? It was another Jethro. He showed up and said, Moses, you are going to work yourself to death. You have got to delegate. And this is how you need to delegate. Provides more ministry care. It offers important safeguards. It helps protect the church against error. It preserves from an imbalance. Listen, I cannot reach the same people that Pastor Bill can reach. I cannot reach the same people that Pastor Sean can reach. I cannot reach the same people that Pastor Jonathan can reach. But I can reach the people that God appoints in my care. And it also avoids a discontinuity in the church. Next thing is this. Peter associates himself as an elder. He says, I am a fellow elder and also an elder. I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I witnessed Christ suffer in the Garden of Gethsemane. I witnessed Christ being arrested. I witnessed Christ at the trial. Now, I stood way off. In fact, I even denied. And the reason I think if we really got right down to it is the reason why he denied is because he saw Christ suffering and he did not want to have to go through that. And we do not know for sure if Peter was at the site of the crucifixion. We do not know that. For sure, it's not written in Scripture. But he sure did hear about it if he wasn't there to witness it. Probably heard about it from John, I'm sure, because John was there. His mention of a future glory, see, he saw Christ at the Transfiguration. He knew of the future glory of an eternal reward. He was present when Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." But then point number two. Point number two is who needs to be shepherded. Very simple. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed the flock of God. Now, why should we feed the flock of God? Number one, because Christ came to redeem His church. What does that redeem? That word redeem? It means to purchase. It means to buy. When you go to the store and you buy something, you are redeeming it. When you have a coupon and you go and purchase something with a coupon, you are redeeming that coupon. Christ redeemed the church. Number two, Christ sent the Holy Spirit to empower His church. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit empowers spiritual gifts to shepherd the flock to Christ's likeness. The purpose of teaching and preaching the Word of God and spending time with you and shepherding you is so that you will grow in your sanctification to be more like Christ. And lastly, Christ purchased the flock with His blood. He shed His blood. So many times we say, "I am so thankful for my forefathers that shed their blood so that I could have my freedom." We need to say, "I am so thankful for a Savior who shed His blood for me and shed His blood for the church." That is why we must feed the flock of God. Point number three. How must shepherding be done? How must it be done? Let's go back to our text. Latter part of verse 2, and let's go through verse 3. It says, "Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." This is what the Amplified says. The Amplified says this. It says, "To tend, to nurture, to guide, to guard, and fold the flock of God, that is your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly. Not dishonorably motivated by the advantages and profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and cheerfully. Not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, a pattern, and a model of Christian living to the flock," which is also known as the congregation. Now, let's do some word studies here real quick. Taking the oversight thereof. That word oversight comes from the Greek word episkopeo, which is what we get our word episcopal from. What does it mean to episkopeo over your flock? It simply means this: to look upon, inspect, oversee, look after, care for. We ask you on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesdays, to fill out a white card. Some of you, because of some reason, don't want to. That's what it boils down to. You don't fill out a white card because you simply don't want to. what it boils down to. It's like, you want to know why you don't read your Bible? You don't want to. You know why you don't fill out a white card when you come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You don't want to. You don't want to submit yourself underneath the pastor by filling out a white card. You know why we fill out we ask you to fill out a white card? So that we can put this to use. So that we can oversee the flock of God. So that we can know whether you're here or not. If there's a burden that you won't be prayed over, put it on the back of the white card so that on Wednesdays in staff meeting, we can pray over those things. If you're having surgery and you don't tell anybody that you're having surgery, how are we going to know that you're having surgery? Okay, we've had church members leave the church because we didn't go and pray with them at the hospital. But then when we asked them, well, did you tell anybody? No. Well, then how are we going to know if you're in the hospital, not having surgery, if you don't tell anybody? And one way to tell us is by a white card. Fill out a white card. Just write your name on it. It's not that hard. Hopefully, just spell your name. Well, I have to look at my driver's license to write my name. We want to look after you. Why? Because God has entrusted you in this church. He has entrusted your souls underneath our care. Now let's look at another word. Not by constraint. Let's go back to our text. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. That word constraint, it simply means by force. Not by force are you a shepherd, but you are this. You are doing it willingly. In other words, you're not doing it to have a job. You are doing it because you have been called by God to do it. It says voluntarily, willingly, of one's own accord. Look at what Paul said here in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, a very convicting verse. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice here that he does not say, I am paid both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I am pushed to preaching to the Greeks and the barbarians. No, I am debtor. I am in debt to them. I am a debtor. As much as is in me is, I am ready. I am going. Now, I'll be honest. If they would have stoned me to an inch of my life and pulled me outside of the city like they did Paul and left me for dead, I'd have said, fooey on you, I am done. I'm just being open and honest and transparent. I'd have said, I am history, I am done. But what did Paul do? Paul got up and went back. He went back in. Well, that's being pretty willingly, isn't it, Byron? Next study, next word. Not for filthy lucre. The outline of biblical usage there says an eagerness for base gain. In other words, you're not doing it for the money. You're not doing it as a job. You're not doing it so that you can live in a $1.5 million mansion with 30 rooms and a car for every day of the week. Sad to say, there are a lot of preachers on television that they are in it for filthy lucre. The next word, of a ready mind, willingly. It says, of not filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not as being lords over. That word lord simply means this. It means to bring under one's power, to subject oneself, to subdue, to master. Look at number two there, the last part. To exercise a lordship over. In other words, you are not to be a dictator. Just like Pastor said this past Sunday, you are to be a doulos. You are to serve. Dr. Adrian Rogers, I think he was 2-time president of Southern Baptist Convention, pastor of Bellevue Baptist, I guess, there in Memphis, I guess 30, 35 years, I guess, Bill, you know exactly. But he announced he found out that he was terminally ill. He did not tell anyone except for his immediate staff and his wife, family. Told them he was going to have to step down. He was going to help with the transition. Brought in a new pastor. The first Sunday that he was pastor, this new pastor, they were looking for Dr. Rogers, could not find him. They looked all over. Said, man, where's Dr. Rogers? We want to make this a public transition here. Couldn't find him. No one knew where he was. And then the new pastor got up to preach. And at Bellevue, my wife and I have been there. There's the choir loft, much like ours, and then there's a side door. That door opened, and here comes Adrian Rogers in his 70s, 2-time president of Southern Baptist Convention, pastoring a many thousands member church, written several books. He walks in and he takes a chair and he sits it beside the podium. And then he asks the pastor, will you sit, please? And then he takes off his coat. He takes a towel and he wraps it around his waist. He goes and picks up a basin of water, sits it down in front of the new pastor, takes off that new pastor's shoes and socks, and he washes his feet. And then he dries his feet. He puts his shoes and his socks back on him. And then he stands up. And he says, I wanted to be the first one to wash the feet of my new pastor. And he left and never went back to Bellevue because shortly thereafter, he died. What a legacy. What an awesome display of doulos to those people. Not to be a dictator. Be a servant. God's heritage. In samples to the flock. And then point number five. Why should shepherds serve? Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Look at two words here in this verse. When. And when. That there is a word of certainty. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say might. It says when. The chief shepherd will appear. And then it goes on to say, ye, maybe, ye might, you should, could, would. No, it says you shall. You shall receive a crown of glory. A couple of things here. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd and is going to appear. He is going to return. He is going to return to this earth. In other words, nothing will stop him. Satan's not going to stop him. Demons are not going to stop him. When the Father says, it's ready, it's time, okay, I'm going. Nothing will stop him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I'm going to meet my father-in-law. I'm going to meet my grandmother. I'm going to meet loved ones that I've never met. My wife is going to be reunited with her daddy. My wife is going to be reunited with a brother or sister that she never met because he died when he was born. And I'm sure that all of you here could say the same. But you are going to meet together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. Think of that. We are going to meet Jesus in the air. It's not something that we have to hope for. It's something that we get to look for. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And lastly, the elder, the reward for elders is a glorious reward. There may be someone in here now that you may feel led that when you get out of the military to be an elder. And when in those days where it gets dirty, where it gets hard, where it gets strenuous, you're getting attacked by Satan. Listen, Satan wants to see our pastor fall. He wants to see me fall. He wants to see Pastor Bill fall. That is why you must lift us up in prayer. You've got to do that. So then when we do get discouraged, when we do feel defeated, when we do feel beat down, when we get the emails and say that I hope you die because of your message, when we get those that I pray that a tornado hits your house, we get those emails, that disgruntled church member leaves because of a message. Listen, there is a reward waiting. It's glory. It's glory. It's our Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father, I thank you that one day we'll be with you in glory. And I praise you for it. Looking forward to that day that I'll be with my grandmother. I'll be with my father-in-law. Be with Mr. Holder, whom I miss dearly. Help us as elders to be good elders. Help us as a church, as a congregation, to support our elders, to uplift our elders in prayer and in words of encouragement. Help us. Brother Dick, would you come lead us in a prayer time, please?